certain people, Jane and Barb, which I will not name, were laughing at me because my wife's sitting over here and I'm sitting over here. We're fighting again. So, anyway. Summer transfers are in. So this would be, I think you'll all like to know this. Clyde and Dee Kylo will be moving to Raleigh, North Carolina. Clyde will pastor the Raleigh congregation, which has an average of more than 100 in attendance, along with a smaller Jacksonville, North Carolina congregation. Both these congregations have been pastored by David Mills, who will remain where he lives. He will continue to oversee the Asheboro and Charlotte, North Carolina congregations. Jim and Sharon Franks, they were in somewhere in Texas, then they went to Cincinnati. Well, guess what? They're back in Texas now. They have been in Austin. He will become pastor of Austin as well as the congregations in Waco and Coleman. So now he'll buddy up next to us, Texas. Austin and Waco have been linked with San Antonio under Gary Petty. And Gary's really excited about that because, you know, he does a radio program, television program. They gave him three churches to pastor. It's just too much. So this is perfect, I think, for him. Gary Petty will continue to pastor San Antonio. Also in Texas, Coleman was linked with Fort Worth with Britt Taylor, but now Britt will only have Fort Worth. So, and he has the festival and Kerrville to take care of, so he's really, really wrapped up. Dave and Linda Register will be moving to Redding, California area, where he will oversee Red Bluff and Eureka congregations. Jim Chapman has been caring for that area since the early part of this year. Larry Salyer and his wife Judy will be moving to Texarkana, Texas. Very went to Texas this year. And Ruston, Louisiana congregations. The congregations were linked with the Big Sandy, Texas church under Ken Trabig, but again, you can only get around so many times, you don't really get. So they made these bigger areas, I think, more manageable. So we're glad to see that. And I think that's all the business. This goes over here. This goes down here. Get that. There's only so much room up here. Boy, I do that well now. I'm trying to figure out where that button is. Okay. Well, like I said, I'm going to do a marriage sermon today. I don't think I've done one for quite a while. And I was talking to my wife the other day, and I said, you know, I'll give a marriage sermon here, and I don't need to give it in the other areas, because Odessa's all widows. One divorcee. And in Amarillo, it's pretty much the same thing. There are widows up there. So, anyway, I just give it here someplace. And then we'll start doing some childbearing sermons as well, and try to get back into that area. We haven't given childbearing sermons for a long time because we had 17 weeks of childbearing classes last year. But I think it's time to kind of go back to some of the sermons later on. So probably in 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. We'll see. This is the second part of a two-part sermon. The first one I gave some time back was how women should love their wives. Otherwise, how women should love their husbands. The world is creeping in. And so anyway, today we want to talk about how men should love their wives. As you recall, go to Ephesians 5:21. We'll start there. We talked about a crazy cycle that every couple gets into from time to time, and trying to teach you how to break out of the crazy cycle. And I have some, I think, are humorous examples as we go through some of this here. Ephesians 5, verse 21. One way to break out of that cycle is here, submitting one to another in the fear of God. In other words, just as we submit to God in a relationship, our relationship with Him, we should also want to submit to one another in a marriage relationship. And you can extend that beyond that, not just in marriage, but we want to extend submitting and trying to help meet the needs of others in a general sense. But since we're talking about marriage here, and even the context is here, to submit one to another in that way. We'll come back to that here, but this is this crazy cycle that we talked about. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and now verse 22. We'll get into the way to break that crazy cycle here in just a minute. Verse 22 here, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. We'll talk about this submit business. What is that all about? And again, we've talked about submitting one unto another. Then we talk about submission of man to wife. Oh, man, I've done it again. Man to husband. And all right, we'll have a closing prayer and go home. Oh, boy. I just got to quit drinking before I come to church. It's just killing me. Okay. You know what I'm trying to say, don't you? So whatever I'm trying to say, that's what I'm saying. Okay. A man and a woman submit one unto another. But in the structure of the family, there's also somebody has to be in charge. And if it isn't the husband, it'll be the wife. It's just that simple. Somebody has to be in charge. If you ever watch Cesar Millan, called the dog whisperer. And I tell you, there are so many parallels between that and parenting. Now, I'm not saying we're all animals, we're human beings, we're above that. But he says, and it's so true, he says, I never have a dog problem, I always have a dog owner problem. Now, the same thing as parenting, I don't have a child problem, I got a parenting problem. So 99% of the time, that's about the same way. And I don't want to get off on this too much, that's another subject, but I watched this little, there's a reason for this, there's a little chihuahua, 3-pound chihuahua, dominating a 160-pound monster dog. Even lay on top of him, and the big old dog's okay. Why? Because they're pack animals. The pack animals, whoever's going to lead, see, I got back to who's going to be the leader. Okay. So in the animal world, especially with pack animals, somebody's going to lead. And if nobody steps up, the first one to do it is the leader. And even though he's this big, dominating an animal that if he jumps up on you, he could knock you over, he's dominating this animal, this huge animal. Well, because, again, they only revert to what they are. So in the same way in the human relationship, our relationship isn't because of instinct. It's more because the way God has given us the spirit in man, God wants to have that relationship, one where you submit. Just as you submit to God, you want to submit one unto another and to care for each other. But in the family, there is order in the family. And that is that the man should be the lead. And, of course, in our culture, it's not a popular thing to say. But it doesn't matter. It's still the truth. But we also have given a lot of sermons that the man isn't the dictator, he isn't cruel, he shouldn't be harsh. Because that's not submitting one unto another in the fear of God. That's just doing it man's way. One translation quotes verse 22, or translates it this way, submit one to another, submit to your husband as you do to the Lord. In other words, it's that attitude. Not that he's God and you worship him, no. But that's what God says to do. We'll do that, and the relationships work better. When that is not right, the relationships don't work. Again, it's not politically correct, but it doesn't work. And then things begin. This crazy cycle begins. And again, it isn't a woman's fault necessarily. It isn't the man's fault. So we get into this crazy cycle. How do we break that crazy cycle business? Well, we'll get into that just as we go here. Why is it that men and women become defensive? I'm covering this a little bit, repeating a little bit what we had before. Is that men and women, men are programmed to need respect. Women are programmed to need love. Programmed is a bad word. Created. God created men to be respected by their wives, and women need to feel and sense that they're loved. And if they're not, then what happens is things just begin to get into this crazy cycle. Into this crazy cycle. We'll show you these scriptures here in just a minute as we go through these things. when we get into this crazy cycle and she doesn't feel loved, and again, I've talked about this before, so I just want to do a little bit as an introduction. She'll do something that to men just is foreign to us. Guys will get together and they'll say, "How you doing?" "Fine." "Well, we, Mr. Abbott and I get together and talk computers for hours." "No, we'll get together and we'll say, how you doing?" "Fine." "Are you doing any birds? You know, taxidermy?" "Yeah, no." Hey, I like to get some new furniture." Yeah. "Mm-hmm. Well, see you later." "That's about it, you know." I mean, I'm exaggerating a little, but, you know, that's pretty much. Ladies, "How you doing today? What do you do to your hair? You look great. And I just love what you've done with the house and the backyard. Look at that." And the guys are wondering, what are you talking about? Because we're not wired the same way. Everything that, again, a lady does, she wants to feel loved. In a relationship, though, between husband and wife, if she doesn't feel loved, she's going to approach you and say, "Love me." And the way she'll do it is very foreign to the man. She will confront you. And in that confrontation, you'll go, "Whoa," and you'll back off. Because she's just going to say, "Well, why don't you talk to him anymore? Is there something wrong with our relationship? Why? Come on, let's talk. And the guy's going, "Whoa, I'll talk about birds for a few minutes, but I'm done after that." We're not comfortable with that. But what she's really saying is, talk to me. And it's important that you talk to me and share your thoughts with me. I kind of hate these kind of sermons, because when I prepare them, I go, "Well, I need to do better here, and I need to do better here." So then it's not so bad if my wife's not here. Then I can act like I'm doing it all, because I don't do it all right. See? Do you ever feel that way too? I'm sure he doesn't. But anyway, funny things, you know, come up, and then we'll talk about them as we go on here. Sort of the SPS of this sermon is Ephesians 5, verse 33. Talk about submission, there's the great mystery, verse 32, "But I don't speak concerning," he says, "I speak concerning Christ and the church." The church plays the role of the woman. And a woman wants to be submissive to Christ, and the man plays that role. We play that out in our relationship, in a man-woman relationship. But verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let each of you," we've got to come back to here to a little more reality, physical reality in particular, "so love his wife as himself." We have to be instructed to do that, because we don't know how as men to do that. We don't know how to do that. And here's something that women don't come naturally to. "And let the wife see that she respects her husband." But I'm showing here that man is wired to need respect. A woman is wired to feel loved and to be loved. And without that, we get into this crazy cycle. What do you mean by that? How come this? How come that? We'll get into some details here. It's hard. We'll say this again and again. It's hard to respect your husband. For a woman to respect her, it is hard for a woman to respect her husband if she doesn't feel loved by him. It's hard to show respect when you don't feel loved. And it's hard for him to love her if he feels disrespected. Now, simple little, and my wife handled it great. We have a neighbor who has a different kind of grass than we do. You say, what has this got to do with the sermon? It's coming. And his kind of grass just has invaded our yard, so I've been tearing it up, and we're replanting and all of that. So I've been working pretty hard on it. And the other day it was really hot, and I just wanted to get done, get out of the heat. And so it was time to plant the seeds. I threw the seed on there and kind of very roughly covered the seed up. Man, it's hot. I'm getting out of here. So that night, and I watered it during the day, and that night she was out there and she was going to water it, you know, late in the day. She knocked on the window because it's right there by my office, and she says, "Have you planted this part yet?" I thought, "What are you talking about? It's been watered all day. What do you mean planted?" I didn't say that, but I thought that. Okay. So the next morning I got up and look out there. Of course, no seeds yet because it's only been planted the day before. And I looked and I said, "Well, that looks awful. It's not level. It's all, there's holes in there." Well, see, it was hot. I just wanted to get out of the sun. I had to see it on the ground. Blah, 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 blah. Well, it looked awful. No wonder she didn't know if I planted it or not. But she didn't come and say, "That's a lousy job. why did you do it that way? If you know, I wouldn't have felt respected, then would I? Then we would have started crazy. Say, like, well, you can do better than me, can't you? Well, you just go out and do it then suddenly. Well, what do you mean? That's supposed to be your job. Well, you get it. See the crazy cycle? But it started because if it had, she didn't do it. But if she showed disrespect towards me, why should I show her love? So then we start this and back and forth. So I'm very comfortable. So you're probably freezing. So anyway, I got the air right on me. So if you're comfortable, anyway, I don't want you to be hot, cold. So it starts that crazy cycle. If you feel disrespected, the man won't feel like showing you love. If you don't feel love, you don't feel like showing him respect. And that crazy cycle gets going. And that's what we want to try to do today. And so when my wife came back home, it was yesterday, from work, I said, you know, I really appreciated the way you handled that because I just read this book. And because you handled it well. I mean, at first I thought, well, why are you asking me if it's planted? Can't you see the genius that just did this? And then it took me the next morning when I was not tired and stuff. It was terrible. And so I had to go out, and then she's oh, that looks a lot better. But I think she handled it very, very well. Although she could have said, man, a drunk sailor could do a better job than this. Well, that would have started the cycle, wouldn't it? That would have started the cycle. So, again, I think she did really great on that. If you find your wife is either very, very quiet, or when she does speak, she's criticizing you, it's because she doesn't feel loved. She's saying, in that criticizing, she's challenging you to say, tell me you love me. That's foreign to us as men. We go, what? You want to talk to me, sister, don't talk to me like that. Because what happens? Well, I don't feel respected. If I don't feel respected, I'm going to shut down. I'm going to shut you out. What do, guys, when it gets a little bit tense? You just shut up. Because most of the time, there's always exceptions. Because you know what? Women are much more verbal, and they're going to whoop us every time. They're just gifted in that way. It's a gift that's supposed to be a curse. It just depends how you use it. So anyway, they're asking you in that discussion, and they're saying it. Remember we talked about a woman listens with pink ears, and a man listens with blue ears, and we speak with in the same kind of mindset. We have glasses. We see things through pink glasses or blue glasses. And that's how we see and hear things around us. We said this before. Okay, our daughter got married. It is done. And I'm relieved. I got through the ceremony without a mental breakdown. Okay, got through that. Great. For months, it was the wedding. And that's great. But every day, my daughter would call. Every day, they talked for 30, 40 minutes. I said, how do you find so much to talk about? Well, part of it is the planning aspect of it. But man, I tell you what, I could not have done it. But you see, it wasn't just her daughter's wedding. This was, okay, here's your daughter in the wedding. And her life is intermingled with all of that in a way that mine isn't. Yeah, I touch it and I mingle with it. But hers, she's like, you know, I can't even get my fingers all around all that. To give you an illustration, she is feeling it, expressing it, breathing it, eating it. And we looked at pictures the other day. Finally, the pictures come. And I had my thought. I thought we looked at all these pictures. I didn't say that, though, did I? She said, sit down and look at the pictures with me. Okay. I didn't say that either, but that's what I thought. Because I've seen the pictures. I was there, okay? Unfortunately, I can see myself from time to time in these pictures. You know, where did that come from? Okay. But for her, it is again, she's reliving it. This was her daughter's wedding. It's part of her life. You know, and it's great. That's how those pink eyes and the pink ears, she feels, she lives that experience. And it's wonderful. I live that same experience on a very different level. But when you put the two together, it's great. When you can understand that there's that difference, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. If you don't understand, get in the crazy cycle. I don't need to watch those crazy pictures again. I was there. I saw it. I know what happened. It's okay. I'll look at them in 10 years when I, you know, get a little moody or something. uh-uh, you don't love me because you don't love my daughter because you didn't want to look at her wedding pictures. See the cycle? Is it rational? No. But you can't separate how people see you, feel, and express that. Let's go to 1 Peter 3. You know, the Bible's thousands of years old, but boy, it's a very up-to-date book. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. And again, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by your conduct of their wives. And the same principles, let the older women teach the younger women, and the older men, the younger men, that all those principles, we'll cover those in some other sermons. How do you basically teach? You try to teach through example. Hopefully it's a good example most of the time. But you try to teach through example. How do you learn? By looking at the example. So he's saying to her, by your example, that's how you submit, by your example. You're not going to try to dominate him, but by your example. Yes, you want to be submissive, even if he's not in the church. You want to be submissive because that's why God has set the family structure up. Now, there are things that you can and can't do because God has said there's certain things that are right or wrong, and that's another whole subject. But I'm just trying to show you these principles here. But look at verse 2. For when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, our awe for God. That whole principle there again. The biggest way to help and to show respect is through example. Again, when we talk about being married, understand your mate, whether it's the man or the woman, doesn't really. They don't mean to be unloving and they don't mean to be disrespectful. They don't mean that. Most of the time they don't. Now, especially in the early days, they don't understand each other yet. And isn't it interesting, if you've been married more than once, you've got to start that whole cycle again? See? Lisa said, we broke each other in. We're not doing that again. See? You have to start that whole cycle again. If you remarry and enter a new relationship, nothing wrong with that, of course. One author brings up an example of this, where you kind of break each other in. And it's such a petty thing, really. And he even writes in his material how petty it is. He doesn't like pepper on his eggs. I think some of you know this story. He doesn't like pepper on his eggs. She loves pepper on her eggs. And so therefore, every time for umpteen years, she bakes eggs or, you know, what do they call it? Scrambled eggs for breakfast. She puts it on his eggs. And he says, babe, I love you, but for years and years I've asked you, please don't do that. But now that you understand the cycle, he could think in his mind, she doesn't care about what I've asked. See the cycle starting? And no matter how many times, she won't hear what I'm saying. She doesn't care about me. She wants to force her will on me. She wants to be the head. She's going to, and then I told you I didn't want that. Make me something else without that pepper on it. Here we go. Now she doesn't feel loved. Oh. Would you like something else for breakfast? Here, try the pan. Bam! Now, I'm being silly, but it's like, wow, there you go. Now you're in this destructive cycle. Does she mean to show disrespect? No, it's just a habit. Then he brings up his thing. He goes through a kitchen. I do this. Hopefully not as much. Oh, I'll get a cup. Open the cabinet, grab the cup. Put it down here. Get some forks out or whatever. Get a fork out. But did you notice I forgot something? Close the cabinet door. Shut the drawer. Now, how many times, and again, he says this is what he does. And she says, sweetheart, can you please close the drawer? Can you please shut the little door? Aren't these silly things? But they start that insane cycle. So you start it that way. So, and it can be more serious events, obviously, but this is how that cycle of not understanding a man needs to feel and be respected and a woman needs to feel and be loved. And when that cycle starts, the negative cycle, the insane cycle, is because one or both aren't feeling that. And then when one responds negatively, wrongly, because they don't feel this way, their needs are not being met in that way, they respond in the wrong manner, which starts that whole chain of events. We talked about this in the other sermon, but just by way of review, women speak through a pink mouth, if you will, and hear through pink ears, and you know, and men through the blue. All right, ladies, when you say, "I don't have anything to wear," anybody want, what do you mean? I don't have anything new. See, they all go, "Yeah, that's exactly what they all have." Now, guys, you say, "I don't have anything to wear." What do we mean? Usually is, there's nothing clean. Or, my wife, again, has washed my clothes in such hot water they shrunk and they don't fit. Okay. Or something like that. Okay, so again, we say the same thing, but we mean something very different based upon who we are from a gender perspective. And, you know, God intended it to be, He intended that every relationship have a certain tension to it. Not to the point of breaking, but there should be a tension to it. Because as you work through that tension and you do it correctly, you actually end up closer to each other. You actually end up closer. It's like saying, you would never appreciate virtue if there really wasn't anything that was sinful. I mean, how could you appreciate what good is if you didn't have a comparison of bad? And there's, Isaiah says that God created evil. What does that mean? That's another whole sermon. But what does that mean? Well, to me, just sort of a common sense approach, if God creates good, the antithesis of that is bad. See? So, anyway. Can we hear through that? Now, when a woman is feeling unloved, guys, and again, we're going to get to the guys showing love towards the ladies and making her feel that way, but again, just recapping, she's going to approach you in a way, we've said this before, that seems like it's hostile, but she's really saying, "I need to reestablish this relationship." Now, when women have things that they need to talk about, most of the time what they want to do, let's sit down, let's talk about it. Okay, we want to talk, we have an issue going on here. Let's talk about our issue. Again, I'm giving generalities, and there's always exceptions to some personalities. But women generally like to get over a cup of coffee or whatever over the phone, and they want to straighten out the issue, whatever it is. Because what they want to do is reestablish relationship. And so usually when a lady comes and says, "Well, sweetheart, we need to talk about this. Sweetheart, we need to do this. We need to do that." Boy, the guy said, "Back off. You're getting too close, too fast. I don't know what to do with this." Now, he's not going to say that. But he's not comfortable with that approach. But if you understand, fellas, she's saying, "I want to reestablish relationship with you." And you're going, "This ain't the way to do it. We need to talk. We need to get this settled right now. We need to do that." We should do that with her girlfriends, and the girlfriends say, "Okay." And again, just some of these basic principles. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. We're already in that chapter. We'll just pick it up. Verse 7. "Likewise, you husband, dwell with them with understanding." I'm trying to show you a bit of how you do that, guys. Understand you're living with a being who thinks with pink glasses and hears the pink ears. See, she feels and experiences life differently than you do. Even the same events, you don't experience in the same way because you experience them through different hormones and so forth and so on. You don't feel the same way. "And what, give honor to the wife." Boy, that concept is just foreign to, especially in the world. In most places in the world today, the idea of honoring a woman is foreign. That's interesting. When we had the conference in Cincinnati a few weeks ago, Melvin Rhodes works in Africa. And he says today in Africa and in the Church of God, women are seen as slaves. It's odd that we go to Africa, our politicians, and apologize for slavery. Well, they still have slavery in Africa today. Okay? Just kind of, but it sounds good on the TV. And so, when they go to the Feast of Tabernacles, now you're dealing with cultures that are thousands of years old, so they don't change overnight. He says, when you start the feast, the first night he says, Okay, now, this has been a typical African, no matter what part of Africa, it's all pretty much the same. The women and children would be on this side, for example, and the men are on this side. That's how it is. You watch the services, many times you'll see that there's that separation. But what he's beginning to do now, he says, before we start our first night services, I want the men to go sit with their wives. Not wives, but singular. Okay, that part they got changed out. Okay. So go, and it takes 15 minutes to find out where, I don't know where she's at. So they don't know. And the women are taught that they are, in the culture, they are taught that the man should never have to overexert himself, that that's her job to take care and provide for him. I'm moving over there. And he should never exert himself. That's what she's supposed to do. And if there's no male born into the family, let's say if I had no sons but I had a brother, and he had sons, and all I had was daughters, the family wealth goes to him, not me, even though I may be the oldest son. But if I die and leave no sons, sorry, all you got is girls. Now that, you think, well, that's middle-aged stuff. That's back Roman Empire. It's still in Africa today. And when Mr. Rhodes will say, he'll say, I want you to sit with your wives, and I want you to do this for the whole feast. He says, this isn't a Western teaching. So he has to tell them that. This is a biblical teaching where you must learn to honor your wife. And he goes over the scripture. And they go, what? The women are going, what? Honor? What's that? You see, the whole culture has been this way for thousands and thousands of years. And what happens if we lived over in that culture and I die, what happens? If Lisa's family won't take her back, she's either sold by my family to the best bidder in another family, or she becomes a prostitute. That's it. So the Church of God is trying now to deal with these cultures that are thousands and thousands of years old. And so the wonderful thing is they're very teachable. So when I read that, we think, oh, well, you know, that's that Old Testament stuff, and that's thousands of years. This is revolutionary now in Africa, as it was revolutionary in the first century Church of God. In many respects, it's still revolutionary for men. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding. She lives with pink glasses and pink ears, and you live with blue ones. And you have to understand that. It helps you to live with her and helps you to feel respected because she learns how you think and you learn more about her. And you honor her as the wife. It's the weaker vessel. And when my daughter got married, I stopped and just briefly said, that doesn't mean inferior. We've talked about this before. And I've seen other authors talk about different things, but I think of a woman as a fine crystal, and a man's more like a glass pot. He can get hurt and broken too, yeah. But a woman's more like a fine crystal. She's just better that way, or different, however you want to phrase it. But you honor her. You don't disrespect her. You honor her. You give honor to the wife as the more delicate, I think is even a better way of putting it, but vessel. As being heirs together, the grace of life. She is the same. She is spiritually equal to you. Well, tell men that in Africa today. What? What is these crazy white people teaching us? See? And you go to the Middle East today, same thing. These ancient cultures. I'm not going to turn there, but in Esther. Remember the big thing when Vashti refused to come to the king? Well, the response was, well, if you don't straighten this out, King, every woman in the world is going to show this kind of disrespect for men, and the whole world is going to end. Sort of paraphrase. So they got rid of her and got Esther, and she really turned out to be something different, that he didn't know about. So there's this, again, not understanding. But it's sad to see that today in the world, there's slavery still alive and well. It's very much culture. There are 17,000 people in the United States who are slaves. They've been brought in illegally. They work for nothing. They're either sex slaves or they're slaves for no money at all to some very rich people. And that's the UN even figured that one out. But that was their figure. 17,000 slaves in the United States today. So slavery, you read back in the book of Revelation, there'll be merchandising people.
So slavery will be coming back more and more and more. Of course, Israel will be among those slaves. But that's another sermon. Anyway, so honor her as being the more delicate vessel. I think it's a better way of putting it. And being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And again, that is so true. I think if any man be honest with himself, if your relationship isn't right with your wife, you just can't pray. I mean, you try to pray, it just kind of goes to the roof and back. Because you know, you're huffing and puffing at the wife. So, okay, I'm going to go pray now. So you go and you shut the door. You know, if she would just do this, or she didn't do that, or she just thought this way, she wouldn't do that, wouldn't say that. Oh, dear Lord, how are you doing today? You know, it just doesn't work. Right? I've ever done that. I read in a book. Every one of us guys know that's true. When you're not right with your wife, it's going to hinder your prayer life. Because you know, God says you're supposed to be the provider and the caretaker and to love her and to cherish her, just like Christ does the church. And when you're not right in that way, you're not right with God. So you got to go, what's the principle? If you go to the altar and know you get something against your brother, go fix that. How much more your mate? How much more your mate? Okay, let's go to Proverbs 12:16. Proverbs 12, verse 16. Again, just the principle. Fool's wrath or anger is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He learns not to have those outbursts, and it takes time to learn those things. How do you? And again, the principles here of living with your wife, you have to, and there's times you cannot allow yourself to get angry and upset. You're the leader. You're supposed to be controlling that and try to disarm the situation. And if she's emotional, you try very hard not to respond in kind. It's just those principles involved for us there today. Going to move on here. Jimmy, since we're talking to the men here, maybe a sports analogy. Maybe if you don't like to watch basketball, I think maybe you'll still understand the principle. In a basketball game, you see Matthew's not here. So anyway, in a basketball game, if you miss your shot, oh, well, that's okay, forget it. We'll give another try later. Or do you try to rebound? So if your teammate makes a shot and he misses, what do? You try to rebound so you get another shot. Well, the same thing is true in marriage. Always try to get the rebound. If you miss the shot, try to get a rebound. When you've acted maybe coldly, or you weren't as responsive to her needs, or she was, whatever it may be, and you're like, ooh, I missed the shot. So what do? I'll just go sit on the bench. We'll try again later. No, you go up for the rebound, get the ball again, and shoot again. Trying to apply these principles. Mr. Abbott used to be a boxer. So, you try to stay away from that left hook, but if he whammy hits you, what do? You just go sit in the corner. I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm tired of this. No, you back up and say, I'm not going to stay away from that left hook, because, boy, he will take my head off. And so you kind of back off, but you wait around, but you come back into you may back around off the edge of the ring until you get your head going again. Boy, I got a glass jaw. You'd kill me just like that. I'm gone. So, and I remember my stepfather one time, he's almost 90 now, and he was a Golden Glove boxer, and he could still just clean my clock. His hands are so fast, just really fast, even at this age. And during the Depression, some of you remember the Depression days, $5 was like $50 or more. When they pay you $5, I may have told you this, they pay you $5 to get in the ring with Rocky Marciano. Well, you'd Golden Glove. My stepdad was a Golden Glove boxer. He wasn't any slacker. So, oh, really? Wow. Yes. I said, what happened? He looked down the ground and said, well, he did everything to me but untie my shoes. This guy was really good. But he said, I got my $5. And they were starving. They were really poor. So anyway, he was willing to get in the ring. And that's what you do. You don't give up when it goes bad. You try to learn, okay, what's going on? And as a leader, you have that responsibility. You have that responsibility. You cannot go off and just sulk. Now, you may for a while, and then you have to come out and say, I didn't handle that right, or you and I didn't handle it right. One good way to think about it is, when you feel that cycle starting, you may say, you know what, I think I can see this crazy cycle starting, and that's because I must have come across insensitive and unloving to you, and when you responded, that made me feel disrespected. And you say, I cannot say that to my mate. Find a way to say it. You may use your own words. You're an idiot, and you made me feel bad. Don't do that one. But, you know, but something like, you know, we're getting into this cycle thing, and I'm not responding right, and that's because I've made you feel disrespected, or I made you feel unloved. I'm sorry about that. Let's see if we can break that cycle, and just sit down over a cup of coffee, or whatever it takes, and let's just talk for just a few minutes. But I want to make sure we don't break into that cycle again. And help me, and I'll help you. See, you're disarming that. You're beginning to disarm it. So let's talk about how to energize your relationship, fellas. And we're going to use the word couple. Last time we used the word chairs. You go back to the old sermon on that. Today we're going to talk about how to love your wife. And we use the word couple. First of all, it's an acronym, of course. Where two people are connected. When you couple a car and a boat, that you connect them together. Now they move as a unit. Well, you have a couple. You have two people. And then eventually you add more to them. I wanted to try and get it and bring it with me today, but I couldn't find it on YouTube. The last moments of a pilot who was crashing because he would not believe his instruments. And you could hear the tower. He says, I'm going down. And the tower says, no. The tower says, you're going down. You've got to trust your instruments. Don't trust what you feel. That's what killed Kennedy. John Kennedy's son, not too long ago, he's inexperienced. He got out over water. I think it was at night or towards the end of the day. And he thought, sure, by sense, he was going up when he was actually going down. And he wasn't trained enough to read just the instruments, I guess, with all the instruments. They put a hood over you, and all you can see is the instruments when you're in training. And anybody a pilot in here? Okay, but it's counterintuitive to everything. You feel you're going down when you're actually going up or vice versa. And you could hear the tower talking, and I wanted to have you listen to it, the terror in the man's voice. And the tower says, don't believe what you feel. Look at your instruments. You're on instrument flight rules. And he'd been very inexperienced in that, and he went with what he felt, and he drove it right into the water. When he was going down, he thought he was going up. He wouldn't believe his instruments, which were telling him correctly. So he's going against that. Well, when it comes to relationships, fellas, go by the flight rules. Go by the instruments, not your feelings. So guys can understand that. Women go, I'll go by my feelings? Because they're different. See, you got to go by the rules. Get the instrument panel out, put the hood on, and do what the instruments tell you to do. And that's kind of what we're going to do here, give you those instruments. First of all, let's go to Genesis 2:24. This sounds so basic, but it is very important. Genesis 2 and verse 24. God's created Adam, then he created Eve, showed him he had a need for a helper that was comparable to him, who was his equal spiritually, and all of these things we've been talking about. And then he marries them in verse 23. And therefore, and now Adam's looking at her, and we come here to verse 24. God makes this sort of the end of the first marriage ceremony. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become echad, or one flesh. The child leaves parents, and they become a new family unit. My three kids, they grew up, and they got married. First of all, the separation starts. They leave, go to school, and there's a separation there. But they still come home, and there's that tie there. Of course, there's still a tie, even after they're married. But once they're married, they don't belong in my home anymore. They come and visit, but they don't belong in my home anymore. They should be separate, a separate unit that comes and visits me from time to time. Or I go and visit them because they can't put up with me anymore. But that you must become a separate unit working together in one flesh. in a one flesh relationship. You leave home, you leave home, but then you stay in contact. Obviously, you don't cut off your parents, but the principles, you are now a new unit. Function is that. If you don't, you're going to be unhealthy. You're going to be unhealthy. I think I've related this to you before. I don't remember which one. It's the old-time pastor and his wife years and years and years ago. They got married. This probably back in the 40s. They got married. They had their first tiff a week or two after getting married, and she came home to Daddy. She's crying. I'm just coming home. I'm not going to be there. He says, what are you doing here? You belong with your husband. Go back home. You don't belong here anymore. Go home. Come visit with us. You can eat turkey with us on Thanksgiving or whatever. Call the phone every now and again. But go home and you be with your wife. We'll work that out. And of course, he was there and she was there. And they're all kind of laughing about it now 50 years later. But she just thought, well, I'll just go home because things are rough at home. No, you're not. This is your home now. You're a new unit. This is very profound there. Therefore, a man shall leave his parents, his mom and his dad, and be joined to his wife. Otherwise, he's still joined to mommy and daddy. And he can't be the leader for his wife. You can see how it works with the wife as well. And they shall become one flesh. This isn't just, now they can have sex. It's that, but it's a lot more than that. So again, the first word that we have here for couple is close, to be one flesh. You want to be close. You want to be close. You know, when you're first married, you don't have kids, you have that time to get close to each other. And not just the intimacy, the physical intimacy, but also the emotional intimacy, this type of thing. You begin to get close to each other. And then after your kids are grown and gone, 300 years later, you kind of sit around and go, what do we do now? Empty nester deal. But it is, you kind of begin this whole process, but at a different level, in a different way, at a different time in your life. And all of you, most of you already have experienced that or going through it now. Let's go to Luke 6:31. First of all, you've got to become a couple, and that means you've got to be independent. I don't want my kids to be dependent on me anymore. I raise them, and I want them to be self-sufficient. I don't want them dependent on me. I don't want that. It's nice when they call. Can you give me some suggestions or whatever it was? Or they call and just persecute me. My son will do that every now and again. He did last night. He wanted to know something about my computer locked up. My fault, not yours. I said, oh, I got to get this thing. I got to reboot it. It's not working any good. And he's going to give a sermonette in Waco today. He says, I think I probably should give my sermonette on patience, Dad. So again, persecuting me. Because after all, I have to go through the whatever. Of having to reboot the computer. The world will end now. Okay. So anyway. Luke 6:31. I got to get going here. Luke 6:31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to your wife, your husband. See the principle there? Do unto others as you'd like to have them do to you. The principle, same thing for the person you're living with. You can't do that if you're not close to them. Get close to your mate. That means you spend time with your mate. You live separately as a couple and get that time together. And what Deuteronomy 24:5, we're not going to turn there, but when a man got married in ancient Israel, he wasn't to do anything but just spend that first year with his wife. Why wouldn't that be nice? Our culture today won't allow that. Got to pay the taxes. That's why you both work now. You know, there's no time for this kind of stuff anymore. But God says, don't join the army. Can't be in the army. We want him to spend time with the wife of his youth, if you will. We want him to spend that first year so there can be that bonding. Back in Deuteronomy. So, coupling. How can you help get a sense of coupling to your wife? Give her hugs. That's profound, isn't it? A lot of men don't. You tell her you love her, that she's beautiful to you. And that you're not expecting sex. That, you know, because every time a lady hears that, here it comes. And she feels, okay, you're just using me. But if you could just say, you're just so beautiful today, and it's just a joy to be around you. And she's thinking, what does he want? And you don't expect anything beyond that. Then she realized, he really is appreciating me. So what is that? She's that ingrained, is a better way of putting it. Desire to be loved is met. And there's no ulterior to that. So that's that closeness. Get close to your mate. Isn't it odd? We men have to be told that. Because we have to be told to love our mates in this way. Because it isn't natural to us. And it really isn't natural to women to respect their husbands. That's why they have to be instructed. See? Again, I sort of talked about this. You have to learn how your husband can handle this, but men understand she's working at this as well. Openness is everything to her. She needs to have that openness. Just talk to me. And if a woman, you can't talk to her, she's drying up like a flower. Speaking of that, I'm killing the bad grass with some pretty potent stuff. I kept saying, I want you to do the roses because I'll kill the roses. And she didn't do it. It's her fault, not mine. Finally, I didn't want to wait anymore. So I, not so carefully, poisoned the grass, kind of not too close to the roses, but too close. And I killed some. And I hadn't killed them yet. Almost. Okay. Now, I don't know what the point of all that was. And again, she could have said, I told you. First of all, I said, I'm afraid I may have poisoned your roses because you notice they're wilting and they're turning yellow and not looking too good. Or maybe they, and she says, well, you know, that might have happened. Or they might have mites. I said, well, thank you. But I know it's what it is. We could have started a destructive cycle. See? I've been good for her. I've taught her a lot. So I tried to respond. Thank you. You could have just said, you did it again, meathead. And Marvin, I'm just impatient. I want to get this job done. I want to conquer it and get it done. See? And I won't kill those roses. Well, then we find out their root systems are pretty extensive. And so anyway. But we didn't get into that destructive cycle. And I could see she was not wanting to do that. It was an opportunity for her to do that. And I saw she didn't, so I didn't feel disrespected. And I could say to her, thank you for not doing that. Even though she would have been right. So you stop that cycle. Stop that cycle. Other couples, they don't get into these fights. They just stop talking. They don't talk. That's it. How are you going to have peace with this woman who wants to come to you? Let's reconnect. I'm going to approach you and say, why did you not? She'll say, about the roses. The roses are dead. You didn't love me enough to wait for me to get the roses done. And you knew those roses were important to me. Why do I? They're just plants. They're just roses. They're going to die. They're going to live. They'll be all right. It's no big deal. Well, if that's all that relationship. See, to her, you're saying, I don't care about your roses. I don't care about you. And a man goes, what? But that's how somebody who's pink hears this and experiences that. I don't care. Anyway, so openness is everything. You can't, this is the next part, C for closeness, O for openness, to be open with each other. She's going to come to you and she wants to update the relationship. Every day, my wife will come home from school, she wants to update the relationship. So how did they go at work? Well, blah, 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 blah. That's important to her. Okay. I come home maybe Sabbath, I've been to such and such a church, and we'll reconnect. She needs that openness. How's the relationship? How's it been since we've been gone? We need that. She needs to reconnect. And you're saying, I'm tired. I don't need to reconnect. I'm going to go play cards or, you know, drink a cup of tea or something. I'm tired. I don't know. I need to know where this relationship is. But if you understand that's where she's at, that's what she's doing. She wants that openness and that oneness. Colossians 3:19. Just like a little puppy or whatever, an animal is a pack animal, they resort to what they are. You and I resort to what we are based upon how God has made us. Depending on our sex and our experiences in life and so forth. Colossians 3:19, we resort to what we are. Husbands, here it is, the command. Love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. We have to be commanded to love them. What do you mean? I have sex with her. Oh, that's not the same thing, is it? Every woman knows that, but every man doesn't. See? Loving them is doing what we're saying. Be in tune, try to be in tune with her. Will you, fellas, will you always understand everything about your wife? No. She won't always understand you either. We will never totally understand each other. That's sort of the spice of life, if you will. But understanding these principles will help you to go through these things. Again, we have to be careful not to be bitter or harsh towards our wife. We can very easily, with just a few words, crush her. It's hard to get that back. And, oh, she can do it too. But we have to be very, very careful. The next one in the word couples, you, is understanding. That's what I'm trying to show you here today. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter. I'm trying to show you understanding. That's why, again, when you get older, if you're a younger person, and you can find someone who's older and they've had a successful marriage and childbearing, it's really good to go to them because you can tap that experience. But our culture again says, nah, put the old people in the farm, them out to the rest home. Sometimes you have to go to the rest home and so forth. But I think you see the principle. We really don't honor the life's experience. It's amazing to me, the human race from day one to our day, every generation thinks they are smarter than the other ones. And they have the answers. And then as they get older, they realize they didn't have the answers. And a lot of things that they've been taught before really weren't crazy, that they were right. You know, it's part of basic humanity. How to live and how to treat each other and so forth. And then they raise their kids and their kids are just, they just know you're an idiot. And you don't know anything. And then as time goes by, they come back and say, well, you really got smarter as I got older. You know, we've talked about that before. But that's human nature, isn't it? To think that you know better, that you already know better. 1 Peter 3:7. Again, we talked about this. Live with them according to knowledge and understanding. I want to read that again. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding. I'm trying to show you. Understand, she has very different way of hearing and handling things in life than you do. Understand that. So if she's a little bit really quiet and moody, she's not feeling loved, and the last thing she wants to do is show you respect, because then she's vulnerable. Or if she's really chatty and just, yeah, she's just zipping at your heels. You can't do anything right. Yeah. Why'd you get this way? Why'd you kill my roses, meathead? You call that a garden? That's no garden. You actually planted that monstrosity and call that ready to plant, put seeds in the front yard? I can't believe I'm living with such a clod, whatever. And she's just nipping at your heels. What is she saying? I don't feel loved. Love me. She's confronting you to say, love me. And a man goes, whoa, back off. I can't back off from the mic. But back off. I don't have. And so you shut him down, ladies. You can't. So understanding each other, you can't do that. And maybe here's where the man is the leader. He used to say, you know what, sweetie, you've been biting my heels all day long. You know, I deserve that. I didn't do the yard right. I didn't. You know, I was horrible. I looked at big old things like that. I just want to get out of the sun. Okay. And you're right. And I really appreciate the fact that you didn't jump all over me. Or in this case, if she did or she didn't. But you're jumping on my case because I didn't do a good job. And, you know, even a yard somehow is an extension of a lady. You know, it's her home. It's all kind of there. It's a whole package. Yes, it's a yard. Who cares? You mow it once a week, it's over, right? Big, big deal. But no, it's part of her because it's all part of the whole program. It's how she's pink, ears, eyes, living through that experience. You say, you know, I can understand that. And I realize I've failed you in that area. If you could really help me, but if you just quit nipping at my heels, I'll try not to give you reason to. Find a way for you to say that. Let me help. You just can't come back and get into a fight with her. It doesn't work. She's not feeling respected. I'm sorry, she's not feeling loved. And therefore you're saying, but you're not respecting me. Until you respect me, I'm not going to love you. I'm not going to show you any love. You just better wake up. And he'll find out she's gone because she can't live with that. Now, here's another example. Just trying to help you guys see this. I don't have to move on. Well, we've got Bible study time. Wife, you come home. Husband, there. He's saying, sweetie, can we talk for a little while? He's going, oh. But he'll say yes. So you sit down and maybe it's, let's say, a problem at work. Oh, blah, blah, blah. There's this problem, and this person is that way, and this person is this way, and I try to deal with this or that or whatever it is. And she gets up and she walks out of the room, and you're saying, what? We haven't fixed anything. And so you go over and say, well, what are you planning to do about it? Oh, nothing. I feel better. I just need to talk about it. Does that make any sense? So what would, again, I'm trying to do this myself a little more. And so you guys can do it because you have to learn how to live with her according to understanding. And she may come, here's what happened at work. Before you start, are you looking for a solution? Because that's how guys, they like to fix stuff, and ladies do too, but a different way. Are you looking for a solution or are you just looking to have somebody to talk to? Just want somebody to talk to. Okay. That may sound very, very simple, but you don't have to fix anything. Just let her talk. What she's doing is trying to figure out what her feelings are. So women love to sort of talk. It can kind of, you know, if you have back pain and until somebody touches it, you're not quite sure where it hurts. Talking to them is like feeling out where the pain is. And they can identify their emotions by talking. I don't need to talk. What's for dinner? That's pretty good. What's on TV tonight? We've been talking. What are you talking about? That if you do all of it according to knowledge. So, and again, this one author, I thought, very good. Are you wanting a solution? Or you just want to talk? I just want to talk. Because he learned that where his wife came in one day and just kind of unloaded over this problem. And then what was done, she turned around and was in a... I don't remember all the details now, but there were some kids. The kids came in that room, and she'd finished talking. She went over there and was laughing and carrying on. He's wondering, well, you just came with all these problems. And that's when he says, well, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm fine. I just needed to talk. Didn't need to fix it. Just needed to talk. Okay. And other times you may see, well, is this a problem that after we talk, you want some advice on how to handle it? Or do you just... You would come and just talk about it and kind of feel better about it. Yeah, I just want to talk about it. Or no, let's talk about some of the issues. Okay, that'd be great. See, men speak to communicate information, to share information. Women speak to express their emotions and relieve their emotions and get in contact with them. Okay, next letter is being a peacemaker. It's very important. Blessed are the peacemakers. How much of that is true in marriage? Blessed are the peacemakers. And again, the same principles are there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7. I've mentioned this already by reference, but I'll go ahead again. Every relationship that you have is going to have tension. And that means marriage as well. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. You know, sexual activity here. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Submit one unto other, one another. You willingly want to help meet the needs of the other person without being dominating and overpowering, but you have this concept. What's he saying here? There's always going to be this difference. And think about that. In this relationship, in this very intimate level, you learn to give and to take. You learn to try to meet the need of the other person. You can't say, well, this is my body, no one's touching me. What does the mate have a need? And so forth. Now, with that in mind, we want to go now to verse 28, show you about this tension. He says, but even if you marry, and he says some people should marry, some shouldn't, and so forth, and not that he says some shouldn't, but some can handle marriage, some cannot, and so forth. But if you marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, and I'd spare you. Well, some of that and more immediate things, they're going to have persecution was coming on the church. You wanted to spare some of those. You know, if you're married and now you have to care for your wife and your children and you go through these difficulties. Yes, that's some of the immediate stuff he was talking about. He also felt that Jesus was coming in his lifetime. He turned out to be wrong in that. But he was right about the persecution. And just face it, if you're single, life is not as complicated. But when you get married, it gets to be more complicated. I don't mean that in a bad way. But when you're single, you can live in an apartment maybe if you're a guy. Maybe a lady too, doesn't matter. But, and you live in an apartment, it's fine. But when you're married, well, just a simple little thing. When I was single, I could put everything I owned in the back of my pickup, and two-thirds of the bed of the pickup was still bare. I didn't care about all that stuff. Okay, I got married. No kidding, that pickup was full, stacked to the top, 4 feet over the top of the bed, the truck, back off and squared off in the back to where it blew a tire and a couple shock absorbers moving. And I thought, when did this happen? It happened on August 5th, 1979, when you got married. Now all of a sudden, you know, it gets a little more complicated. And that's fine. So he's saying here, if you're going to remain single, that's one thing. If it's not wrong to get married, it's not wrong to stay single. Just kind of look at but realize there's going to be tensions in those relationships. And that's okay. Because you grow through those tensions in relationships. And in the tension of the relationships, you need to be a peacemaker. And really, that's what we've been talking about. How to be a peacemaker is understand how the other person sees things and how they understand things. Real quickly, one man was saying one time that his wife gets historical. And most men will think, you mean hysterical? No, historical. Not hysterical. I've mentioned this to you, but it's just very fitting. We've been married about 31 years, and she can still remember who was at the wedding, what they were wearing, for a lot of them anyway. I don't remember any of that. How many of you guys remember? I've got August 5th, 1979. I'm doing good to remember that. I haven't forgotten yet either. Okay. But again, they're historical. Everything that happens in their life is one big unit. We tend to put things in boxes. Okay, daughter's married. It's in the box on the shelf. Oh, my daughter's married and they got a husband and they're over here and they do this and everything. And I know that too, but... But for her, it's very different to live with understanding. It's all historical. It's all part of everything. Everything they do, it's all this package. And again, I've watched my wife and her mother. Amazing. Well, you remember so-and-so. Sometimes my wife says, no, Mom, that was 35 years ago. Or you remember... He was married to so-and-so's brother, whose sister was the third cousin to the... What? But they're connecting because those people are part of their lives and those experiences are part of their lives. You're lucky to remember what was for dinner last night because you put everything in a compartment. So they're historical. They think things in a historical way. And they understand that. So if you understand what she's done, that's why she's going to want to go over things. Now be careful, ladies, that you don't bring up. Remember, love doesn't keep a record of evil. I've mentioned this to you, but I think it's good to repeat. I counseled an elderly couple. They're long both dead now. This was 30 years ago. And they've hated each other for 40 years of their marriage. Absolutely hate each other. Because he did something which is very wrong 40 years earlier. And she's never forgiven anything he ever did in between them. And she would bring it up over and over and over. So he's getting disrespected and he's not going to show her any love because he feels so disrespected. Well, if you don't love me, I'm not going to respect you. See this cycle of insanity? So here they are in their, 70s, late 70s at that time. They never had a happy day in their marriage. Because she would... And it was largely her fault. But that's not right either, because he did other things too. But anyway, the point is they got into this cycle and it destroyed them. They managed to live under the same roof till they died. But they were miserable. It's sad. Because they kept a record of evil. And she even told me she kept a record of everything. She said, I can tell you what he did 40-something years ago. I can tell you what he did. And he's just saying, well, how can I ever overcome anything if she never stops talking about it and won't forgive? And since she won't do that, I am not going to show her love. So when she changes, then I'll show her love. See? Is that insane? They did not understand how each person thought. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. Isn't that true in marriage too? Maybe when your mate comes to you, a man or woman, doesn't matter, you know, when they're angry, you say, you know, I understand you're angry and you got every right to be. I was wrong. This is what I did. And you're right. And I'm wrong. And I apologize. And you just took all the fun out of it. See? It really does. And this is all assuming you're living with somebody who has just, they're people of good intention. They, you know, we all want what's right. We don't want to be bad. We don't want to be insensitive. We want to be good people in the sense that God called us to. But because we're not totally that way, we should understand when we mess up, that when the other person apologizes, they're saying, oh, that's coming from basically a good heart. They want to do what's right. See? Some people are just incorrigible. They're not going to change, not in this life. But anyway, so soft answer does turn away wrath. James 5:16, the principle is confess your sins one unto another in a relationship. You know, for time's sake, I won't be turning there. It says confess your sins one unto another that you may be healed. It's physical healing, spiritual healing. Confess your sins. Okay, in a relationship with marriage, I should have done this, or I shouldn't have done that, and I was insensitive when I did this, or I responded to you because I sensed you weren't respecting me, or I didn't feel loved, and help me to understand where I missed it, or what. See, you're disarming it. You're confessing one unto another. You're learning to deal with each other by living according to knowledge. Okay, move on here. Loyal, be loyal to one another. Just a couple. We can go to Job 3. Job, the third chapter. Job, the third chapter, and I'll give you just a couple more to refer to. Job 3, verse 11. I don't know if this is the one I want or not. Well, that's not the one I want. Why did I not die at birth? Okay, well, I don't know what that one was about. Maybe then when you're really having a bad day with your mate, this is what you're thinking. Okay, I don't know where I got that one. Okay. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament as we have it here. Well, you know, that may have been... in your worst moment of your marriage, I was going to die at birth instead of going living with you. Okay, there you go. I need to mark that one out. I don't know what happened there. Might have been 13:11. I don't know. Okay, Malachi 2. We used to quote this quite a bit in the church. In verse 15. Malachi 2. I'm going to start here in verse 15. But he did not make them one. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks a godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Again, that whole attitude there. Be careful. Live with her or him according to knowledge. Honor, respect each other, and understand where each other is coming from. 99% of the time, we end up hurting each other because we get into that crazy cycle and we don't even know where the source of it is. We don't understand why we get into that. We're people of goodwill. We want to obey God. We want to do what's right. That's what our heart is. And then we kind of pull our hair out and say, well, why am I not doing it? Because we don't, in this case, what we're talking about, we don't understand the mechanisms at play. Fellas, you have a need. It's built in you by God to be respected by the woman you love. And ladies, I mean, you fellas need to realize this. Your woman has a deep need to feel and be loved. And she'll just be like a rose, as long as I don't get too close with the poison. It will just blossom out. She will just respond to that love. She's created to do that. She wants to do that. But has to do it in a safe environment for her. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Proverbs 20. Got to be careful we don't get into this, fellas. Most men would proclaim his own goodness. He builds himself up. Another principle is you're right in your own eyes. I love the one, I don't remember where it's at, the proverb, if you grab a dog by the ears, be careful, you're going to get bit. And be wise in your relationships, in other words. Be wise in your relationships. Most men will claim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? In this case, I'm trying to show you how to be that kind of that faithful man. Loyalty. That's very important here. Let me show you a few ways you can assure your wife of your love for her. And this is one page here in this book. 171, I believe it is. I'm running out of time, so I've got to... How do you assure your wife of your loyalty to her? One. Boy, and these are very simple, but they're powerful and they're profound. They really are. Most truth is, it's simple and profound. You speak highly of her in front of others. Now, what's in? Now, that's the good. And if God created evil, the antithesis of it is insult her in front of others, belittle her in front of others. So, again, speak highly in front of her of others. You think of the Proverbs 31 woman. Get involved in things that are important to her. Not every little thing. I'm not into crocheting. And what's the thing you ladies like to do? Scrapbook. I mean, nothing wrong if a guy wants a scrapbook, but it's just not my cup of tea. But the ladies love it. Why is it? Because they can talk. Now, not every woman wants to do that either. There's nothing wrong with that. But many times they like to talk because they like to get in touch with what? Their feelings, and they like to... They enjoy it. What do you like to do? Football or hunting or what is that? What do you guys like to do? Now the guys understand that. The women are going, what? Yeah, we like. Okay. You can help her make decisions such as one regarding the children. He brought up something and I'm just amazed. So I'll say it publicly because I'm going to do the first point. And we talked about the other day, three children, my wife took three children to two services all of their lives to 1995. And they behaved in church. They weren't perfect, but they behaved in church. Thank God they're all in the Church of God and so forth. And I think now, I know I never appreciated how much she did in those years with those three kids, three of them, you know, and to be able to do that and put up with me and all those aspects. When you're young and you're busy and you're go, and you stop and realize, she really did an outstanding job. She really did an outstanding job. Three kids went to church. And funny, when United got started, the kids came up after they were shaving for a couple of years. Dad, you know, we want to go to church, but how about just one service? Okay. Well, we weren't going to leave little kids by themselves during the Sabbath or you know, hang the kids and somebody else to watch. But they knew they have to go to church. But after United got started, they were in high school and stuff. They go to church every Sabbath. They didn't have to go to both. Sometimes they went to one church and not the other. And Father, we need to go to this one, but not that one. That's fine. So, but all those years, she's able to keep those kids quiet through Bible studies, sermons, all of those things, and work with them. Did she have to take them out and correct them? Yeah. That type of thing, but did an excellent job. Anyway, and sometimes a young mother would come and say to her husband, "Can I? You know, I just don't feel like I'm very. I just feel so inadequate to raising the children." And really, what she's saying is, "Here's what I'm doing. Encourage me that what I'm doing is right." That's all she really wants to. You know, "Oh, well, you're doing a great job." Don't correct her in front of the children. If your children can say, "You know, Mom and Dad, you never fought in front of us," let me say, "Well, yeah, we didn't do it in front of you. But in private, we had our disagreements." But that's very important. Fellows, don't look lustfully at other women. That makes her feel insecure. I think that's pretty obvious. You make her and your marriage a priority. Just a few of these. Another important thing is, and again, I think every woman would understand this, if you have little kids, most of you, your kids have grown, but it's important, if your children show disrespect to their mother, Dad steps up and says, "You will not speak to your mother in that tone." Then she knows she's loved, she feels supported, she feels safe, you see. But if he's over there drinking his beer, having his beer, looking at the newspaper, and the kids are just, "I just hate you, Mother. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that." You know, and he doesn't care. And he's wondering why she doesn't feel loving towards him. Hello. Anyway, just a few of those things. So the point of all this is this. And I'll just repeat it again. It's important that if you want to feel loved by your mate, you have to meet the needs of your mate. And again, for a woman, she must feel loved, fellas. And that means she's heard. She can talk to you. You will talk to her. That type of thing, that you don't insult her. And that way she can feel that she can respect you. Fellas, ladies, you need to understand that in order to get the love you need to respect him. If you want to get the respect you need, fellas, you've got to love your wife. See, well, now we'll go back to Ephesians 5 and just read that verse again. Ephesians 5 and verse 33. "Nevertheless, let each of you in particular," put your name wherever you are, "so love his own wife as himself." So love your wife. She must feel loved if you want to get what? "And let the wife see that she respects her husband." They go hand, not hand and fist, but hand and glove. I don't know where I got that one. If you want to feel loved, you've got to show respect. If you want respect, you've got to show love. And it breaks that cycle that just devours marriages and destroys them time and time again. That's why some people can be married 3 and 4 times and they keep making the same mistakes. Keep making the same mistakes because they've never learned how to break that cycle. Or if they learn, their mate never does. See, and they never do. So let's dwell with one another according to understanding and break the crazy cycle. Now what we'll do is we will have a little bit of a break and then we'll have a little Bible study, a partial one anyway. We'll be able to cover everything. Okay.